Yes, thanks very much to the listeners out there that have joined us on our Legal Unicorns podcast again. I'm here today with Adnan Ahmed, a fantastic and experienced transactional and incredibly strong corporate commercial and M&A attorney based here in South Africa, who has a particular interest and a particular knowledge and skill set within the fintech, crypto space, Web 3.0, and is a huge enthusiast in that space. So, welcome today, Adnan.
Thank you, Rob, for hosting me, and welcome to the viewers.
Excellent, excellent. Well, look, crypto and the fintech space, but particularly cryptocurrency, is an area that is of big importance to you and I. We've talked about it before. It's an area that is becoming more and more prevalent, especially in South Africa. And therefore, the knock-on effect of that is in the legal and regulatory space. And how is that going to affect business? How that's going to affect people personally and their savings and their investments? And because it's a new area, we need lawyers like yourself who've got a genuine interest and a genuine passion for that space to help guide us through the potential pitfalls and the highs and lows. So, if you wouldn't mind, Adnan, starting us off with what is cryptocurrency, and why should people be taking notice of it?
Thanks, Rob. So I was going to keep it brief. I'm going to assume that everybody knows the detail about cryptocurrency and what it's about, given that it's been in the news lately. But in summary, a digital currency that uses cryptography. What is cryptography again? You want to define that. It's a secure communication that allows only the sender and the intended recipient of the message to view its contents. But essentially, it's to secure transactions. Cryptocurrencies should be viewed as a decentralized technology. In that meaning is that it allows users to store money without using their name or going through a bank. So that in a nutshell is what cryptocurrencies is about. I think Bitcoin was the first cryptocurrency in 2008, but if I to my last account is what somewhat 10,000 unique crypto assets, secure coins, the stable coins, etc. So in a
Yeah,
nutshell.
well, that was show sort of huge explosion that we've seen, and us here in Cape Town have seen it to the point where now one of the major exchanges, Luno, has its name on the side of a building down in downtown in the CBD. So it's obviously exploding. But in terms of crypto assets, can you explain a little bit more to those who maybe don't have a true understanding about crypto assets?
Sorry, I just had to unmute myself. I'm still getting used to this digital world. But soon. So if you look at Bitcoin, let's take Bitcoin as an example. It can be defined as a crypto asset. It's specifically designed as a payment instrument or payment system. Various crypto assets vary degree de vary in the degree of what they sought out to achieve. Some are used as payment instruments and others as investments or a means of capital raising or a combination of them, to be honest with you. So that in a nutshell is what a crypto asset is.
Okay, and yeah, so I suppose to the uneducated, it could be a form of currency per se, or it could be an asset itself, more like gold, or it could be, like you say, it could be an instrument that is used to raise funds as opposed to the traditional way of raising funds. So it can be
So,
good for the individual as well as the business.
absolutely. So, if you take for any like investing in the stock market, for example, where people invest in a share, for example, for capital growth, it can be similar to nature to those, not akin to those, similar to nature, or it can be a form of payment, for example, like you use your fiat currencies on a day-to-day basis. Yeah.
Yes, and I suppose for again those who are just stepping into the market, whether it's from a business perspective or from a personal perspective, you're as much buying into and investing in the technology and that crypto asset and that flow of secure payment, secure information swapping, if you like, as much as you are investing in the coin itself?
Economics of scale, demand and supply, I suppose. And that's why the rise of a crypto asset will always go up.
Now, we've seen, you know, those of us who are early adopters, like yourself and myself, we've seen quite a neurotic market for the price of various cryptocurrencies and assets. We've seen more and more, it's an industry that's growing superbly well, and people are taking, are accepting it in retail spaces, and people are living their lives through it now, which I think is wonderful. It's banking the unbanked. It's doing all the things it promised to do. But with that, and the success, as we know, in the world that we live in, comes more scrutiny and therefore more regulation. So in particular, as an expert in this field, as you are and becoming even more so, what is the regulatory impact in South Africa and regulation in South Africa with respect of cryptocurrencies? Can you expand on that a little bit more, please? Mute. Sorry, Adnan, you're on mute. Sorry.
There we go. I suppose the point of departure here would actually be looking at, let's define legal tender in the South African context. And here we look at the South African Reserve Bank Act 90 of 1989. Without going into technicalities and details, it's limited to banknotes and coins issued by SARB, South African Reserve Bank. So if you take that definition, crypto assets or cryptocurrencies are not regarded as legal tender.
Okay.
And that's shut off various working groups. A South African working group through the National Treasury Crypto Assets Regulatory Working Group, what a mouthful, in June 2021, confirmed their position in terms of what they towards crypto assets, which was defined loosely as a neutral position, wanting to promote innovation in the space, but also wanting to impose regulations to protect the consumer. So they outlined about 30 recommendations and confirmed that crypto assets will be brought into South African regulatory purview soon. And when I say soon, hopefully by the end of 2022. Then the Financial Action Task Force, FATF, and you would have heard of them if you had anything to do with FICA, the Financial Intelligence Center Act, issued new standards where all jurisdictions across the globe were required to regulate crypto assets and crypto asset service providers like your Luno and various other providers for anti-money laundering and combating the financial financing of terrorism, for example, and anti-money laundering. It's a hot topic and will always be a hot topic. So they've imposed a standard of how they want the regulations to deal with crypto assets.
Yeah. Okay. I mean, in sort of short term, then I think we can all agree that, that some level of regulation and protection for the consumer is a good thing. I myself was caught foul in 2014 with the Mt. Gox bankruptcy in Japan, where I had some coins, and I believe that 8 years later we may be getting them back at some point, which is wonderful. But that's obviously a long time to have to wait. So I myself can speak as someone who fell foul of that with lack of protection. So I can understand that. But I think what I like about it as well is, and what I've personally always liked about it is, it's an alternative to what many may see as the over-regulated fiat currencies and traditional banking or ways of banking. And obviously, ultimately, this is a very secure way of swapping assets, again, for in layman's terms. And And if you, you know, have an understanding and an appreciation and an enjoyment of the technology behind it, you can see how it can scale. Obviously, then that's going to be a very tricky role that the regulators are going to have to play. If it's not a currency, how much can they get involved? And yeah, that was interesting. But I mean, I suppose, therefore, from your side of things, where does it go from here? What can we expect?
Sorry, just had to unmute there. So what to expect? So if we look at where FATF was and where the National Treasury was, it's, I don't think they want to impose new legislation per se, because South African regulation is quite strong in this market. So I think what we can expect is, first of all, service providers should register with the Financial Intelligence Center Act, with FICA, in terms of FICA, to become crypto asset providers or service providers, like you have your old mutuals or your other service providers who provide financial services. Individuals would then be able to not only trade in cryptocurrency, but also will be able to advise on crypto assets and advise consumers as well, like they do with any financial products, for example, in terms of FASE, for example, the FASE being Financial Advisory and Intermediary Services Act. So that's important to recognize, is that we have existing frameworks in place and in terms of FASE and FICA. And if service providers want to register as accountable institutions, and accountable institutions register in terms of FASE and advisors for that matter, they will be able to advise quite well on crypto assets, being given that they have to probably train as well. So I foresee that this falling within the ambit of the Financial Sector Conduct Authority, the FSCA. And advisors in particular would have to register with them. So that would mean that managers, asset managers, would probably launch more crypto products, for example, Bitcoin ETFs on the JSE. I know there was a movement to try to launch an ETF similar to what they'd done in Goldman Sachs and in the USA, but that failed because we're still a bit behind in terms of our legislation and regulating the crypto assets market. So that's kind of what we're expecting. That's hopefully going to be at the end of 2022. We'll see where the regulator takes us.
Yeah, well, I mean, it's an exciting time, obviously, and it's an exciting area that I, for one, from a business and from a personal perspective, have got a great interest in and hoping to see it grow. I suppose from a service provider perspective, someone like ourselves who do a lot of consulting work and career work and recruitment work and, you know, just our business alone, I suppose at the moment it would be, you know, if we choose to take cryptocurrency for our services, largely that's down to us at the moment. I know that Luno does a business, does have a business account, which we're currently looking at ourselves. But I suppose with that with the lack of regulation comes lack of protection. If Luno gets hacked and suddenly we've got no money left, there is obviously worry. So I suppose for it to be taken on in a business perspective, largely there will need to be an element of regulation. But I suppose, and I don't know, this is a question for you really, from your side of things, do you feel that that the market is worried about over-regulation, that there is a concern about governments trying to control that area too much, especially as it is a decentralized area? Sorry, Adnan, you're on mute again.
Of course, and you'll see a lot of the governments are trying to launch their own stable coins, which are linked to the fiat currencies, for example, want to control crypto assets as they want to. And that's obviously a worry and a big concern for individuals like yourself and myself who want to invest in decentralized assets, for example, who don't want to be controlled so much by government. So yes, it is a concern. And I think South Africa's position as neutral thus far is promising. But again, we can't speak until we see what the regulations actually come out and say.
Yes, yes. And for countries that are taking it on and are busy making it legal tender, albeit not your traditionally big financial markets, Central African Republic and El Salvador and places like that, that are growing, they're going to be watched very interestingly, very carefully. But again, it's giving an access to a way of trading their services and buying products that maybe the traditional currency in the country can't handle. And the traditional route for that currency would then be to go to a more stable currency like the US dollar, as many current countries have done. And this gives them another alternative. But it is a wonderfully growing area. And I think from a legal perspective, it's great to have people who are passionate about the subject matter and the area like yourself. I would advise anybody listening out there to get in touch with Adnan and find him on the socials if they've got any questions. He might charge for his time. You might need to pay him in Bitcoin. But yes, I mean, obviously, I'm guessing from your side of things, less professional advice, more personal. I'm guessing you feel quite positive about the whole space.
No, absolutely. I'm definitely excited. I'm excited how crypto assets are going to affect the property market, for example, how transactions are going to be facilitated using crypto assets. So definitely excited about the space, and it's definitely a growing space as well.
Brilliant. Well, look, Adnan, thanks so much for your time. Like I said, it's great to have experts out there like you to be able to call on. It would be great to come back again in 6 months' time and do another interview, see how far along we've moved. One area that I'm very keen to talk to you about in 6 months' time is what I'm quite worried about, but I don't really understand, is the CBDCs and central bank digital currencies and the way that they're going to play out within the larger economies. But look, I'm going to call on you in 6 months' time. It's great to have you on board. Thanks very much for your time.
Thanks, Rob. Absolute pleasure being on your podcast. And let's look forward to the 6 months. It should be interesting.
Good man. Thanks a lot.